Week number four, class number three, the power of fasting. All right, turn to page 12 in your outline. Now we're going to be talking about the practical aspects of fasting. Fasting in the human body. Please note, all right, now before we get into this, I'm going to read everything from this point on because it needs to be on tape. And part of the reason for that is I know that these tapes are being passed to non-students to hear. If you want to do that, that's okay. But when you start talking about this stuff, you better be very, very clear or somebody could mess themselves up. And you'll understand as we go through this. So, please note, the information in this section has not been prepared by a physician or nutritionist and should not be interpreted as qualified medical advice. Anyone considering a fast, particularly a long fast, should consult with his or her physician. Also, if you are taking any kind of medication, please check with your physician before beginning a fast. If you are pregnant, if you're nursing, or diabetic, it is extremely important that you consult with your physician before any type of fasting. Now, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 8 says, Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Now, here's this phrase, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Now, we're going to be talking about that. Fasting can have an extremely beneficial effects, physical effects. Fasting can help the body purge itself of toxins, and fasting can assist the body in healing. Let's talk about fasting in our culture. Life in a Western civilization is counterproductive to fasting, especially in this country. In January, you have New Year's Day, February, Valentine's Day, March, St. Patrick's Day, March or April, Easter, May, Mother's Day and Memorial Day, June, Father's Day, July, Independence Day, September, Labor Day, October, Sweetest Day, November, Thanksgiving, December, Christmas, and then we start all over again. Then all throughout the year, you have birthdays, graduations, weddings, anniversaries, and then all kinds of social events, and everything is focused around food, is it not? Well, that alone is going to make it hard to fast. Guaranteed. Because the moment you go on a fast, somebody's going to come up with something to do with eating. somebody will call you up and say, you know, you just started fasting, all right? Somebody's going to call you up and ask you to go to your favorite steakhouse. Somebody's going to call you up and ask you to go to a restaurant that you've been wanting to go to your entire life and never been there. Yeah, what are you going to say? What are you going to do?
Why, bless God, I'll fast. I'm super Christian.
Sure you will. Can I start over again tomorrow, God? Well, let's talk about types of fasts. The word fast, what does it mean? In the Hebrew, it means to cover the mouth, as in prevent food from going in. All right? And in the Greek, it means to abstain from eating. In Scripture, fasting essentially concerned food or food and water. Now, it's very important because I've heard people teach things like, well, you know, you can fast television and it'll work just the same. No, it won't. Fasting television really does not enforce the positional truth of death against the flesh. I heard one person talk about fasting talking. And he fasted talking for I don't know how many days it was. And he communicated with his wife, you know, with notes and things like that. Well, that's true. I'm not going to tell you who it was because some of you might know. It was a preacher. You can fast a whole lot of things, okay? You want to fast music. You want to fast television. You want to fast, you know, whatever. You can do that, and you're using your will to force yourself to not do those things. Now, granted, if in exchange for your television time, you're spending time in the Word and in prayer, you're going to get some benefit from it, powerful benefit. But when it comes to the Bible and the fasting that's described in the Bible, the Word itself, Hebrew or Greek, is talking about intake. All right, physical intake, food and so forth. Now let's talk about types of fasts with regard to fasts that are identified in Scripture. We've got three we're going to look at. An Esther fast. Look over in Esther chapter 4. Esther, Brother Martin, you mean there's a book in the Bible called Esther? Yes. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. Okay, Esther chapter 4, verse 16. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day, I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. All right, now this was a 3-day fast. No food, no water. Now, important note, fasting without water can be extremely dangerous. And I will say this for the record. Do not ever fast without water intake. And if you come and tell me God told me to fast food and water for 40 days, then you might as well ask me to come and preach your funeral as well. Because the body cannot sustain without water. Even your brain will begin to dry up if you... I know some people like that, Brother Mark. Your brain will begin to dry up and die if you go without water. And your organs begin to shut down and you'll die without water. So fasting without water is extremely dangerous. A Daniel fast. Turn over to Daniel chapter 10. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Chapter 10, verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came fresh flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, where he says, ate no pleasant bread, this doesn't mean necessarily that he ate absolutely no bread at all. It means no pleasant bread, and the term pleasant bread refers to maybe, it's really kind of a hard thing to define, even in the Hebrew, but it seems to imply bread with leaven or what you might call desserts, pastries or something. But in essence, he had no pleasant bread and he had no wine. Now, notice here where it says, neither did I anoint myself at all. That phrase, anoint myself, literally means I didn't take a bath. Now, don't you ever come to me and tell me God told you to fast bathing. Not only will you be in the back row, you'll be in the back row in the basement while we're having church. So he had no pleasant bread, no meat, no wine. Somebody says, I can do the bread or the flesh, but don't take my wine, Brother Martin. Don't take my wine. Well, anyway, this is a Daniel fast. Now, the 40-day fast of Jesus. Look over in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. Notice it does not say he was hungry and thirsty. It just says that he was hungry. It implies no food. Now, although Scripture does not indicate that Jesus had any water, it would literally take a miracle for a human body to exist in an arid wilderness for 40 days with no water. So it is a safe assumption to say that Jesus had water with him. We don't know how much, whatever, but that is a safe assumption. And most medical and nutrition experts do not recommend fasting longer than 40 days. Please note this. Because at the end of 40 days, your body starts accelerating toward death. At the end of a 40-day food fast, your body starts accelerating toward death very rapidly. And I do know of a person that fasted for 50 days, and his wife told him, look, will you please just make out the will, because you're going to die. There is nothing in the Bible. Well, we'll get to this in just a moment. Sunrise to sunset fasting. This is where you fast from sunrise to sunset. Okay? In other words, all daylight hours. I know some people say, oh, that's easy to do in December. Some people fast 1 or 2 meals a day, meaning they maybe eat breakfast and don't eat again until the next day at breakfast. Juice fasting, which means no food, just water and juice. Now, if you do a juice fast, the juice should be as close to fresh, not from concentrate, as possible. And the juice should have no sugars added. It's really important, because with all that added sugar and you're going without food, you're going to go bonkers. So the natural juices from the fruit itself, you're going to get that whether you eat it or drink it as a juice. So that part's all right, but it's the added stuff that can mess you up. And the concentrate, usually when it's concentrated, there's a tendency for it, because it goes through this process of being concentrated, nutritional value can be lost. So the fresher the better as far as fast is concerned, or juice is concerned. Series fasting means like a certain number of days on, a certain number of days off. Maybe you fast 2 days, eat 2 days. Fast 2 days, eat 2 days. Now let me throw one out to you. And this usually gets, you know, kind of a few goofy looks, or like surprise looks. Have any of you ever considered fasting for 6 months? Fasting food for 6 months. Think about it. Fast a day, eat a day. Fast a day, eat a day. By the end of the year, you fasted 6 months. Think about it. Well, people kind of don't think about things like that. But if you were to fast that way, that is a way to fast. That would be a type of series fasting. By the end of the year, you will have fasted 6 months out of the year. Well, how long are you supposed to fast? There is nothing in Scripture that indicates or instructs a certain length. There are some people that teach if you fast, it's got to be like Jesus, 40 days. There is nothing in the Bible that indicates that. It's not that you can't do it. It's just that there is no instruction in the Bible that says a fast has to be this, this, or this. It's really up to you how long you want to fast. Or, through prayer, God, how long do you want me to fast? One of the two. Now let's talk about guidelines for fasting. Now, from letter F on, the rest of this is not an outline form. It's in, I don't know what you call this, but it's in this form. It's what form? Essay form or whatever. Medical studies indicate that fasting somehow triggers something in the body to begin regenerating itself and fighting various illnesses. Now, before we go any further, I want to share with you everything from this point on, everything in here, you can find with your own research, books, websites, all of it. Everything in here you can find. But this part right here, medical studies indicate fasting triggers something in the body to begin regenerating itself and fighting various illnesses. This has come from medical research, not Scripture. Secular research has proven this. Dr. Gregory Hogg is the health director at the GLH Center in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, which is not a Christian resort, by the way, and at Mountain Mist in Waynesville, North Carolina. He said that in 20 years of supervising fasts, he has seen patients recover from or experience drastic improvements from things like cardiovascular disease, arthritis, asthma, non-insulin-dependent diabetes, ulcers, digestive disorders, lupus, skin problems, cysts, tumors, and kidney stones. Now let's talk about longer fasts. Longer fasts, meaning up to 40 days, there appear to be four phases in this kind of a fast. Now, let's just say that a longer fast would be from 10 to 40 days, okay? To kind of simplify things. The first phase would be a craving for food that can last usually up to 2 and maybe 3 days. A feeling of weakness and faintness that can last up to 3 days. The third phase is a feeling of strength and little, if any, desire for food. And then the fourth phase, the return of hunger. This can happen about the 21st day, but usually doesn't occur until about the 40th day. This hunger signals that the body is beginning to break down good tissue and consume it in order to exist. It is very important to eat at this point. Most experienced fasters recommend that a person never fast beyond 40 days. Short series fasting, no longer than 1 to 3 days, does not usually require a lot of dietary preparation. Longer fasts should have proper dietary preparation. There is a generally held opinion that if a person has never done much fasting, immediately going on a 40-day fast may create problems. There are reasons for this. Emotionally, they are totally unprepared for what is coming, and the common dietary habits in the United States are so horrible that forcing the body into a 40-day fast as a person's first fast could be too shocking to the system. Blood sugar levels could go haywire. Fruit juice, vegetable juice, and water, though, can help. Although this may not be true for every person, it is a good idea to start out with shorter fasts in preparation for a longer fast. This will not only help psychologically, but it will also help prepare the body. Now, let's talk about preparing for the longer fast. Preparing for a longer fast is extremely important. Not one nutritionist or seasoned faster recommends a longer fast without preparation. Some suggest that you use as many days in preparation as you plan to fast. Then, you take as many days to come off the fast as you have fasted. Others think that a week-long period of preparation is adequate for a fast of any duration. Depending upon your eating habits, you may want to consider a 2-week preparation. Now let's take a look at a 1.5 to 2 week preparation time for a longer fast. In this 1.5 to 2 week time, this is what you will do. Begin by eating smaller meals. Try to include small snacks 2 to 3 times in the day. This will begin stabilizing your metabolism and blood sugar. If you eat meat during the first day or two of preparation, eat only turkey or chicken, eliminating all beef, pork, and shellfish, preferably all fish. It is best to eliminate all meat. During preparation time, stop eating all high-fat foods and sugary foods. Increase your fresh fruits, vegetables, and salads and water. By the third day of this preparation time, you should have eliminated all meats, breads, and any remaining high-fat, high-sugar foods and desserts. In exchange for these foods, substitute fruit, vegetables, salads, fruit juices, vegetable juices, and water. Distilled water is best due to its detoxifying abilities. Now, let me comment on this distilled water thing. Here's an interesting fact. Somehow, distilled water has the ability to act as a magnet to pull heavy metals out of the body. It somehow, and I don't understand this, I mean, we're going back to the mind of God here on this one. Distilled water somehow acts as a type of magnet in the body, like to pull. Now, we're not talking about, you know, chunks of metal out of your body. We're talking about, you know, the metallic traces that exist in the body, like, you know, the ions and so forth. Distilled water somehow, once it's in the bloodstream, seems to have the ability to pull this stuff out of your body and flush it out. Okay? All right, let's continue on. let's see here. Where were we? It is still good to have 3 meals a day. Now, where is this? Thank you. I knew that. Okay. It is still good to have 3 meals a day plus 2 or 3 snacks. Avoid typical heavy salad dressings as much as possible, including those labeled fat-free. As far as fruit juices go, avoid acidic juices such as orange juice or water them down by 50% with distilled water. Apple, pear, grapefruit, papaya, watermelon, and cantaloupe juices tend to work best. Also, if you can make your own juices with these fresh fruit in some kind of a blender, that is really good. If you don't have a juicer, purchase juices without sugar or additives. You can also drink caffeine-free herb teas. Be sure to include exercise. Walking is absolutely the best fasting exercise. It actually enhances your ability to fast because it is stimulating the breakdown of fat and burning of toxins. The more fat that is broken down and toxins eliminated prior to a fast, the easier the fast. If you're unaccustomed to drinking lots of water or juices, gradually increase your fluid intake. It is okay to go from 0 to 8 glasses a day, and your body will not have a problem with a sudden increase of fluid intake, but your boss might not appreciate all the trips for fluid outflow. If you start with 3 glasses per day for 2 or 3 days, then increase by 1 or 2 glasses every 2 days, your body will adjust to the increase. 2 or 3 days before beginning your fast, eat lots of fresh vegetables and salad. Eat very deliberately and chew your foods thoroughly. Drink plenty of water. Now let's talk about during the fast. Keep in mind that your body is used to the Americanized nutrition it has been getting for many, many years. This is nutrition that is nowhere near the nutrition of the people who lived in the Bible. Now, this is important to remember. You do not eat like the Jews ate, or the Egyptians, or anybody else for that matter. They did not have the processed food we have. What they ate was as close to natural as you can possibly get. Now, daily nutrition is extremely important for successful fasting. That is why it is very wise to improve your dietary habits even before beginning a 1.5 to 2 week fasting preparation. Remember that when you begin a fast, the body is designed to immediately begin detoxifying itself. Now, this is a really interesting phenomenon. That is why, anybody in here ever, you know, like you gotten sick, the flu, or whatever it would be, and you just don't want to eat anything? Well, the reason for that is because your body is telling you, it's not just because your tummy's upset. Your body is saying, don't eat so I can work harder to detoxify myself of whatever it is that has attacked me. Going without food can only produce hunger, but the detoxification process is what creates all the things people struggle with. Now, that's important to remember. People say fasting does this and does that. No, going without food only causes you to be hungry. But it's the detoxification that causes the weird stuff. We'll talk about that in just a moment. These are some of the things identified during detoxification. Not everyone may experience all of these. Dietary habits prior to fasting make the difference. These, as we begin reading, are things you might experience during this detoxification process. Lightheadedness. This seems to be common for most people. If you get too dizzy, lie down, elevate your feet. This will help the blood flow to the brain and deliver more oxygen. A change in sleep habits. This is a very interesting occurrence. The more unhealthy our diet, the more we typically need additional sleep. This is because when we sleep, the body can divert energy for the purpose of attempting to complete digestion. When more nutritional foods are eaten and there is a healthy diet, there is less strain on the digestive system. Skin problems or blemishes. As the body is expelling toxins, skin blemishes can be the result. Wash with a mild soap or use a mild astringent. Feeling cold. The body is going through a battle of detoxification. Just think about when you've had the flu and got the chills. The body was not working to keep you warm, but to fight the invading virus. Likewise, when the detoxification process is initiated through fasting, the body turns inward to fight and remove toxins. Bad breath. This is a result of the war going on inside. Just think of your breath as the invisible smoke of a toxic waste burn-off. Brush your teeth, gums, tongue, and roof of your mouth using a very soft bristled toothbrush. Mouthwash is okay, but use some that has no alcohol. Breath mints can help, but some experts say that eating them can cause the stomach to think you have resumed eating. This, they say, causes detoxification of the process to slow or to stop. Try to avoid chewing gum. It will definitely send the wrong signals to your body, as in, we're eating again. Hey, this is great. Loose bowels. This will generally take place during the pre-fast preparation and first few days of your fast. It happens because the body was suddenly inundated with really good food and roughage. Roughage acts as an internal drain cleaner to scrape the insides of your intestines and colon to remove as much stuff as possible. This might continue if you are drinking lots of good quality fruit juices. Constipation. Drink good quality herbal teas, which are usually purchased at health food stores. Drink small quantities of prune or plum juice. The fresher, the better. Again, this might be better purchased at health food stores to avoid the excess processing and sugars. Be sure to drink lots of distilled water. You may also want to use an enema or colonic, especially if the constipation lasts more than 2 days. Brother Martin, you have got to be kidding. Oh, no. Vomiting and nausea. This should never happen if you are drinking lots of water. Body odor. If you have lots of toxins, you may notice an increase in body odor. This is because the body is releasing the toxins through the pores. Be sure to use a good deodorant soap, and everybody will love you, and use deodorant or antiperspirant. You could also use baby powder along with the deodorant. Darker than normal urine. This is natural when the body is removing poisons. Again, lots of water is the key. A coated tongue. During a fast, the tongue may develop a whitish or yellowish film. This is a sign that bad stuff is being removed from your body. Brushing and mouthwash can help. Headaches. Many people complain of this. It can be a result of caffeine withdrawal if you did not properly eliminate caffeine prior to your fast. It is also one of the effects of detoxification and or dehydration. If possible, lie down. Massage your head and scalp. Breathe deeply to increase oxygen intake. Drink some water, as dehydration may be the cause. If you must, use a very mild pain medication that has no aspirin. Aspirin can greatly irritate the stomach. Do not use any pain medication containing narcotics like codeine. Man, you talk about getting messed up. This will really send you off the deep end. Weight loss. Due to the pre-fast preparation change in your eating, plus the cessation of all food intake, weight loss will happen. For heavier people, a tremendous amount of the weight loss will be excess fluid that is built up in the tissues over time. Increased mucus drainage. This can come from your sinuses, bronchial tubes, and GI tract. This is a normal manner by which the body is expelling toxins. Backaches. This can be a result of blood carrying so many toxins to the colon that it has an effect on the nerves near the spine. This is not dangerous, and the pain will subside as the toxins are removed. Stretching and back exercises can help. Enemas can be extremely helpful. Cold sores or fever blisters. Once again, this is a result of the war your body is winning against poisons. Don't forget to drink lots of water, preferably distilled. Don't do any strenuous exercise watch sports activities. That's a misprint there. Don't do any strenuous exercises and get involved like the sports activities. Walking will greatly enhance the effect of the fast. Short walks are better than lengthy ones. Now let's talk about what's being eliminated during this process. Toxic acid crystals. Synovial fluid is what keeps joints flexible. As we eat high-fat foods, especially the heavy breakfast foods, the excess residue is concentrated and crystallized in our body. These crystals begin collecting around the joints, then overpowering the joints, then replacing the synovial fluid and acting like a cement. The result is lessened flexibility along with joint pains and aches. The first area attacked is the feet because gravity has an effect on where the crystals go. This eventually spreads throughout the body. You know what we've just described? In part, gout. Excess cholesterol will be eliminated. Poisons that have been stored in the spleen, liver, and kidneys. Toxic waste matter in the lymphatic system. Excess fatty tissue and acids. Dead disease cells or even dying cells. Toxins that have been embedded in the cellular fibers and deep organ tissues. Waste deposited in the tubes that feed nutrients to the brain cells. And boy, this one right here. A lot of people say, oh, I just can't remember nothing no more. If you start fasting, a lot of the stuff that's plugging up and interfering with... See, your memory is a result of nerve stimulation and the electrical connections in your brain. Now, if something interferes with this process, you're not going to remember things the way that you used to. And it's amazing how a lot of people have commented how that when they would go on fasting, their memory began improving. Well, this is one of the reasons for that. And also, during this fast, it is possible that even cancer cells can be eliminated. Now, let's talk about cleansings during a fast. Most all nutritionists agree that enemas and colonics can be of benefit during a fast. This is because the body is already in the process of breaking down toxins that the enema or colonic can help. It is not mandatory to do this, only something to be considered. Enemas flush out the rectum and a small part of the descending colon. Colonics or colenemas flush further up into the transverse and ascending portions of the colon where toxic waste accumulates. Think of it like this. The colon is like a sewer system with twists and turns. And think of the example of a clogged kitchen drain. You know how the pipes can bend and turn and all of that? Well, that's like your elimination system. Enemas can be administered at home, as can colonics, but colonics require a special board to lay on. These boards can be purchased at a good health food store or online. Enemas require getting up to eliminate. Colonics allow you to eliminate while on the board. This is because a colonic is a flushing similar to the flushing of a car radiator. Anybody ever flushed a car radiator? You put the hose in the top, and you open up the ball cock down at the bottom, and you turn on the hose causes the water to flush through the entire system in your car, and it comes out down at the bottom. Well, that's essentially what a colonic does. It flushes you, it just continues to flush you with this water. Purchasing a colonic board and supplies can be somewhat inexpensive, especially compared to the cost of colonics at a clinic. Many nutritionists agree that it can take anywhere from 8 to 12 colonics to adequately flush the excretory system. Each session can cost anywhere from $80 to $150. Now, I know of people that have gone through as many as 30 and 35 sessions of colonics before they were finally cleaned out. The body will burn toxins and waste without enemas or colonics, but the colonics dramatically increase the effectiveness of the fast. Many people complain of getting a lot of colds, the flu, feeling lousy and sick, are not really sick. They are experiencing the effects of a body that has become a toxic waste dump. Parasites also will be flushed out. Innumerable testimonies have been given by people who basically felt healthy but had many parasites flushed out during colonics. This can be an unsettling occurrence for some people. However, anyone who has had a colonic has testified that they have felt better than they had for years. This is because parasites drain the body of nutrients and then deposit their own waste material into the digestive system. Parasites are usually ingested through food. In fact, it is a generally held fact that if you have ever eaten pork or worked with pigs, you have parasites in your system. Due to the fact that pigs are highly resistant to disease or infections, pork is probably the most likely of all foods to contain parasites, even when it is cooked according to recommendations. Now, let me stop here just for a moment and share some things with you. How many of you know that pigs are used for rattlesnake hunts in the South? Anybody know that? They'll get a few good pigs and go out and look for rattlesnakes and send them. I don't know why. It's just the thing they do, I guess. And they'll take pigs to go, because if a pig gets bitten by a rattlesnake, the pig has more poison in it than the venom of the rattlesnake. And the venom of the rattlesnake won't hurt the pig. And so pigs can help root out rattlesnakes. They'll take pigs. If they think that rattlesnakes are nesting under a house or a barn or a chicken coop or whatever, they'll take pigs and send them in after the rattlesnakes because pigs love to eat rattlesnakes. This is absolutely disgusting. But it's what happens. Now, I'm going to give you an example, this thing about the parasites. A friend of mine went to a nutritionist, was having a colonic. The nutritionist said, do you eat a lot of pork? And he said, no. She said, well, do you eat any pork? And he said, no. She said, well, do you work with pigs? And he said, no. Why are you asking me this? She said, well, have you ever been around pigs? And he said, well, when I was a kid growing up, we used to go to Grandpa's farm, and Grandpa had a lot of pigs. And she said, ah, that's where it's come from. And he said, what are you talking about? She said, these parasites. She flushed out of him. Yeah. Parasites. He said one of them was over 2 feet long. And she said, these kind of parasites only come from pigs. They come from no other. All of a sudden, these parasites start coming out. And I've heard the testimonies. Anywhere from 12 inches to 36 inches long, some of these parasites. People don't even know it's in them. And there are many nutritionists who say, if you've never had a colonic or you've never had any kind of cleansing, you have parasites. Whether you want to admit it or not, they are in you and they are draining you now. And you cannot get rid of them just with like X-lax or something like that. You've got to go through some kind of cleansing process to get that stuff out. And along with that, every person I've ever talked to who has gone through a series of colonics or enemas has told me, you cannot believe how good you feel when you're finished with these sessions. You feel like a kid again. One young man made the comment, and he said, he was like, I forget how old he is, maybe 35, whatever. But he commented to his dad. He said, Dad, I cannot believe I haven't felt like this in you. I haven't felt like this since I was 17. I feel like a kid again, Dad. I did not realize how bad I was feeling until after the fact. Two friends of mine, ministers, went to go visit somebody who was complaining of sickness. And they told him, they said, no, you're not really sick. What you need is a good enema. It's like, okay, I'm looking for some compassion. Lay hands on me and pray, right? You know, you told me to go have an enema. Maybe that's what, you know, mean people in church need to have. Maybe instead of... Well, anyway. And he didn't believe him. Well, he finally... I mean, this guy couldn't get out of bed. He was feeling so bad. Well, finally, he decided, what have I got to lose? So he gave himself an enema. And he called them up and he said, you're right. I'm healed. He said, I'm fine. Everything's gone. And they said, well, of course it is. We recognized in you the symptoms of toxic poisoning. And the only thing that was really going to help you was to cleanse that stuff out with an enema. Well, anyway, let's go back to the outline. Thank you. Thank you. The angels are happy. Hallelujah. Okay. Coming off the fast, so we're going to have to hurry through this real quickly. Page 18, caffeine. One of the greatest enemies of fasting is caffeine. This is especially true regarding coffee because of the additional acids it contains. Caffeine is considered a drug by some nutritionists. Olympic athletes will be disqualified if too much caffeine is detected in their system. If nursing mothers consume caffeine, it is passed on to the baby. Infants up to 6 months old can experience the effects of caffeine anywhere from 30 to 210 hours after nursing. Caffeine is notorious for stimulating a false sense of hunger, thus resulting in overeating. It can cause headaches, tremors, irritability, nervousness, shortness of breath, irregular heartbeats. In fact, a University of Washington study found that heavy coffee drinkers, 5 cups or more, increase their chances of cardiac arrest. Some people are more sensitive to the effects of caffeine than others. Sudden withdrawal can cause headaches, some of which can be severe. This is especially true for coffee drinkers. Such withdrawal problems are not dissimilar to drug addicts coming off of drugs. Prior to a longer fast, all caffeine should be eliminated, not just coffee, but all caffeine. This would include things as tea, caffeinated pop, and chocolate. As far as coffee and caffeinated drinks are concerned, a good plan of withdrawal would be to cut your intake by one half while increasing your water intake. For example, if you drink 4 cups of coffee a day, cut back to 2 cups while increasing your water intake by at least 2 glasses and preferably more. This will help to flush out caffeine that the body may have stored. Coming off of fast. The health benefits of fasting can be permanent. So many people talk about divine healing, but it could be that our dietary habits are offsetting a healing work that God wants accomplished in our bodies. The manner by which you come off a fast is extremely critical. Your digestive system is not dissimilar to that of a newborn baby. Immediately eating heavy meats, breads, foods that are high in sodium and or fat, and fried foods can be a very discomforting experience, producing severe cramping, nausea, and pain. Some people say that you should take as much time to break your fast as you were on the fast. Most people, however, seem to agree that taking 1.5 to 2 weeks can be sufficient. It has also been suggested that if you fast over 10 days, the recovery period should be at least 6 days plus one extra day for every 4 days of a fast. On the first to third days of coming off a fast now, eat only fresh fruits such as apples, cantaloupe, grapes, watermelon, or berries. Eat this fruit as much as every 2 to 3 hours. On any of the days while you are coming off the fast, do not eat in great quantities, usually 3 to 5 bites, and you may feel very full. Do not eat past feeling full. Chew very slowly and deliberately. Take your time. Drink water. On the 2nd to 4th days, continue with the fruits, but now add small amounts of raw vegetables such as carrots, broccoli, and cauliflower. Chew thoroughly and continue with your water. You may also add very low or no sodium and fat vegetable soup. On the 3rd to 5th days, you can add to the above a baked potato and or salad. Do not use salad dressing, butter, or salt. On the 4th to 6th day, you could add a very small amount of fresh, skinless, broiled or grilled chicken, turkey, or fish. Use any spices very sparingly. On the 5th to 7th days, begin adding more vegetables, including cooked vegetables. Again, be very cautious about the use of spices. Avoid salt. You should still be drinking your water. On the 6 to 8 days, you can begin increasing the quantities of food. You are not back to eating red meat, pork, desserts, or heavy breakfast foods yet. From the 7th to 14th days, your eating will be pretty normal again, but normal must be qualified. Your stomach will no longer be stretched from the typical American diet, and you will not be able to eat as much. After a longer fast, you should give very strong thought to what kind of eating habits you will return to. If this has been a fast of 20 to 40 days, you have given your body a tremendous overhaul. This would be an excellent time to reconsider eating red meat, pork, sweets, and dried fried foods, and drinking caffeine soft drinks. In fact, you may find that you no longer have any desire for such foods. You will also have given your hypothalamus a tune-up. The hypothalamus is the size of an almond, and it is the part of your brain that controls blood pressure, heartbeat, the metabolism, processing and burning of fat and carbohydrates, the management of fluid and electrolyte balance, body weight, and sugar levels in the blood. Each of these areas is held at what is called a set point. This is a specific level that varies only slightly throughout the day. The term homeostasis is used as the job description of the hypothalamus. The moment you open your eyes in the morning, the incoming light is received through your eyes into your brain, and an electrochemical reaction takes place that stimulates the hypothalamus to accelerate. The hypothalamus then receives electrical signals through the nerves all day long and sends out commands for your body to act. The hypothalamus is the management center for the autonomic nervous system. This system runs bodily functions without our awareness or control. It is divided into two subsystems, the sympathetic and parasympathetic systems. The sympathetic system evokes responses characteristic of the fight or flight response. Pupils dilate, muscle preservation reactions, the heart rate increases, and the digestive system is put on hold. The parasympathetic system has many specific functions, including slowing the heart, constricting the pupils, stimulating the gut and salivary glands, and other responses that are not a priority when being chased by a tiger, so to speak. The state of the body at any given time represents a balance between these two systems. Not only can your dietary intake cause nutritional imbalances that impact the hypothalamus, studies seem to indicate that MSG, monosodium glutamate, and aspartame can also affect its function. If you have trained your hypothalamus to survive on a lousy diet, then it will not send proper signals to the body regarding nearly every function it controls. If you have thoroughly confused your hypothalamus, it will set your fat retention thermostat high and your fat burning thermostat low so that losing weight can almost be impossible. Your fast will have readjusted your hypothalamus and it will be functioning better than it has in years. If you continue eating like you were at the end of your recovery period, you will keep your metabolism fired up, you will continue to lose weight your body doesn't need, and you will keep the weight off. If you return to eating like you did before your pre-fast preparation, you may regain the weight and gain even more. And boy, have I heard this over and over again. A good rule of thumb would be to eat about 40% grains, 30% vegetables, 20% fruits, and about 10% lean meats like chicken, turkey, and fish, while staying away from white flour, fats, refined sugars, because these affect the insulin levels in your body. You should also include exercise. Walking is the most convenient and accessible. If walking is a challenge, try water walking if possible. The water in a swimming pool can help support your body. If you follow these guidelines, your future fast may not be as challenging and your body will be much more healthier. Additional resources. Using a search engine on the internet and typing in fasting will result in many sites with information about fasting. However, few of these sites are operated by Christians. Interestingly enough, several of these sites are operated by cults or people involved with Eastern religions. Other sites are operated by people involved with New Age practices. Although the doctrinal teachings of these sites are in great error, the practical and nutritional information is excellent. Below are a few of the sites you can visit and books related to fasting and nutrition. And these are just a few of the many that you'll be able to find. Now, I'm sorry we had to go through all that so very quickly. However, I know this, that everything that you have here in this syllabus as far as fasting is concerned, the practical aspects of it. This is how to go in, this is how to do it, this is how to come off it, so that you don't encounter all of the physical problems. And from this perspective, you know, we've covered both the spiritual end and the physical end. And if you follow these guidelines as far as the physical aspects of it, it's going to make the whole thing a whole lot easier, if indeed fasting can be ever called easy. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you, Father, for what you've shown us in your word. And Father, help us to understand more about fasting. We ask you to encourage us to fast, Father, so that we can do this and receive the benefits that come from it. Father, we love you and we praise you. And as we leave here tonight, by faith, we ask for and receive divine protection. We'll see you next week, Father. We look forward to what you're going to do. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.